Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Tanya and Tara and Beth and Janelle and Janelle's friends, Iva and Yandel. Am
yay!
Right?
Oh, yay!
And you!
And me, Sandy. Yeah, I always forget. we ended up with the voice of God thundering down, you know, and declaring his son. And the disciples following in terror to their face. So now we're going to come down the mountain and find out what Jesus is telling the disciples to do next.
We are, but I wanted to sum up some of the stuff that we had last time. So Peter's speaking, and a bright cloud envelopes, and in the cloud it speaks, and it says, "This is my son, whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased." And as they fall down in terror, Jesus comes up, and he touches them, and he says, "Get up and don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. Daniel, in Daniel 10, the commentators believe that this is almost like a retelling of an example of what happened in Daniel. And that's oftentimes you'll see like things that connect with different aspects of different passages of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing more powerful than when we pray back the word into a circumstance. And if we watch Jesus's model, Jesus is often using, he requotes scripture that's already there. And in Daniel 10, 18 through 19, I've asked Janelle to read it for us because it's beautiful, and it is another example of a touch that occurs. And so let's read it. And it's what happens to Daniel after he's been praying for 30 days, and finally the angel comes and tells him, and you've been heard and your prayer has been answered, and then this occurs, okay?
It says, "Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'"
Okay, here's my question for us about touch before we have them head down the mountain. What happens when we have been in the presence of Christ and we've been touched by Christ? Based on that example and this example, what would you say happens? Okay, say it, Janelle. Hey, go ahead, Iva.
Peace and strength.
Peace and strength, okay? That's what we got to get. We need to understand that the touch of the divine brings peace and strength. The whole purpose of this section of Matthew 17, 1 through 11, and the transfiguration is, it comes from the word metamorphothe, which means to be changed in form. It is not just something that's an outward, but it's literally from an inward overflow to where the outward is seen. And that is the reason why it's miraculous, because Jesus on the inside, he is shiny. He glows. He has his glory. And he's holding that glory at bay. They've been allowed to see what's inside on the outside. The reality is what has happened and transpired here is that the disciples are now changed. Okay, they have had something occur that the inward cannot remain the same. They have seen the glory of the Lord. They have heard the voice of heaven. They've been told to listen. They have received the touch. Do you see how all of the senses are impacted here? They cannot walk away changed. And so as they're starting to head down the mountain, Jesus recognizes this. He knows, remember, he does nothing that's not intentional. He knows that they have been influenced by God, the Father. And so he has to prepare them for what's to come. Because when they're walking down the mountain, Iva, what might happen when they get down at the bottom of the mountain?
All of your friends ask you, "So, what happened up there?" And you respond with, well, Jesus got all shiny and Moses and Elijah showed up and God talked to us and, you know, normal stuff.
Normal. Would they think it's normal? No. Not at all.
Not too normal.
And so as they're walking down the mountain, Jesus looks over at the disciples and he tells them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead."
Wouldn't they be hard?
That'd be
hard. I mean, you'd be racing down that mountain, I think, you know.
Well, like, yeah, wow. Peter might be skipping ahead.
Peter's 10 steps ahead. Yeah.
If I get a couple steps ahead, I might be able to get this out. I mean, seriously. And so he's preparing them. Mm-hmm. It can't happen yet. Mm. Not yet. Not yet.
How many times in Scripture does he say that? Because we've had it a lot, mm-hmm. where we've talked about Jesus. And then there's other times, of course, when he tells them,
go tell them. Mm-hmm. Right. But because it needs to be revealed.
Yeah.
Because it has to do with what they were discussing, and that was that he's headed to Jerusalem to die mm-hmm. at the cross. Mm-hmm. And things are coming together. And when we read last time about Jesus praying about the Father's glory, mm-hmm. that's actually just before it's all about to come to a head. Mm-hmm. That's after they've walked in with the Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so he's going into the fullness of what's mm-hmm. about to occur. And so it only makes sense that at that point, just it would come on the overflow of the inside, Father, let your glory be revealed. Mm-hmm. And then for the Father to affirm him because he's about to hit mm-hmm. the cross. Mm-hmm. They're going down and he knows what's coming. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's just so random. You just sit there and go, what is this all about? Why do the disciples say, teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Mm. All right, he said, you know, the Son of Man died, don't speak on this. And they're like, but Elijah's supposed to come. Help us understand, this is spoken about in Malachi and what's going on. And so they're trying to figure things out. And Jesus says, to be sure, Elijah comes. He's going to restore all things. In fact, he has already come. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much did to him what they intend to do to me. And that's when they get it. Oh, mm. wow, I could have had a V8. That was John the Baptist, right? Yeah, because Elijah, they went after him. They tried to destroy his testimony. There's many great parallels that could be an entire in-depth Bible study all alone on doing the Elijah and John the Baptist comparison. Mm-hmm. Incredible as far as that goes. But he wants them to understand that what is about to happen is going to happen to him. He's solidifying it and showing them timing, helping them to understand we need to keep waiting. It's not yet here. So as we are thinking through this, what do you think that they were thinking at this time? How would they have responded in their hearts? What would you have done if it was you walking down the mountain?
I think for the first time, they get to finally see, maybe not for the first time, but for the fullest time, they get to finally see this is Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is who he is. I mean, lives are transformed constantly by recognizing who Jesus is. The correct mm-hmm. understanding of who God is changes our lives. And so when they've seen him in glory and seen all of the ways that God works in him and glorifies him and seen his relationship with the law and the prophets, and they understand, it's a light bulb moment of, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. this is who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And then their lives are changed in response to that by, I need to worship him. This mm-hmm. my life must be about nothing else if not him.
Hmm. I love how you said the fullness. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Very beautiful. Anybody else? How would you have responded? What would it have been like for you? Yondale?
I'd probably be busy trying to duct tape my mouth.
Yeah.
Now I gotta keep my
Because you wanna tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have had a couple of rare moments that I've had such an experience of God coming to me about something that I was scared to speak. Mm. That I didn't even want to talk about it. Because it was so intense, so powerful, and what he was showing me, that to speak it was almost afraid to ruin it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there also is a possibility that could have been heavily upon them, because it says in Scripture, his face shined mm-hmm. like the sun. Mm-hmm. Can any of us stand and stare directly mm-hmm. at the sun?
Mm.
No.
You can, but it will eventually blind you.
But it just hurts.
It does physically hurt. Yeah. Bright light physically mm-hmm. hurts. Somebody who's gone from blindness to sight, it is painful. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go through a process of gradual allowing them to see right. the light. And mm-hmm. so they've seen something powerful. And yet here we see strength comes. He gives them the touch. He's allowed them to see, he's allowed them to hear, and he's given them the touch.
Right. I think that's clue because you said that he allowed them to see, because if it was just us looking at the sun or the brightness, he allowed them to not hurt their eyes seeing all this brightness. So yeah. I think that's important.
I think you're right.
He allows us to see things, and sometimes he doesn't.
Right. And he is the one who chose who were the three words.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he chose who got to see mm-hmm. the glory. And but I just praying through this and just praying, you know, because many of us here are at Grace. My prayers this morning and the challenge I gave out to the SDO and the RAs is let's be praying for the glory mm-hmm. to be seen on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we see the glory, if we get a vision of the glory, we can't help but want to do something,
right.
you know, now. But let's not set up for us. We have to remember it's for kingdom purposes. We can't help but watch when we've seen, and then God will make it clear to us what we need to listen to
mm-hmm.
if we have ears that are ready to hear, which will then reveal to us what we need to speak in the mm-hmm. proper time. And that's what we're here for, is we're here to build the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be praying that we have a vision of his glory is a very good thing, but we need to be prepared that when we do see it, that we respond in accordance to his will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In obedience.
In obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good, Tanya.
Obedience and worship.
I think this is one thing, it's just hitting me with these three. Obviously, they can't speak exactly what they saw, because Jesus had told them not to, but you're changed.
Yeah.
Like, your inner being is changed when you've had an encounter with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And as ministers of the Lord, you take that experience to those he's called you to share it with.
Mm-hmm.
That excitement, that confidence, that boldness to share about his truth. Maybe not the specific thing that he allowed you to know, but you go in a confidence that is not your own.
Mm-hmm.
It comes straight from him.
And, you know, Tanya, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm sorry, but...
She's warning you.
You spoke recently at chapel at Grace. I'm like, couldn't even think of it. At Grace Life. And as you were speaking, you did not tell us the fullness of all the things that have happened in your life and all that God revealed to you, but you spoke into us a challenge for love.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person I spoke to afterwards, their response was, it is so evident she's been with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's evident, because even though she didn't speak into her sufferings, her pain, the trials, the lessons she's had to learn through every single one of those in the process of learning to love, she spoke to us about love, and we couldn't help but see love mm-hmm. and the humility of somebody who'd been in the presence of God through that process of learning to love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. That's what she just spoke about. It was a beautiful example of that being made known to those that were watching and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that was willing to hear mm-hmm. would have been hearing Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were smart, they would be listening and obeying
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
he will use us as a voice piece just as he uses Peter, James, and John.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The verse I'd like for us to read is... and I just went blank on it. Peter's verse. Peter has a verse where, okay, 2 Peter. I was like just totally lost where it was at. 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 18. So somebody go in, and this is when Peter finally speaks.
Mm.
This is when Peter does it. Do you have it, Janelle?
It's
2 Peter 1, 16 through 18. He finally gets to speak about it. And so he's writing the letter.
I bet he's excited.
It's amazing. Listen to what he says.
Says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Mm.
For he received honor and glory from God, from the Father, when a voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. How far did you want me to go? Sorry.
That's good. Okay. It's good. I could almost just say, would you just read it again?
I know.
I think it's worthy of being read again.
We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we have to understand is Peter is wanting them to understand this isn't a myth.
Yeah.
This isn't a story. This isn't a false witness. This isn't a lie. This is something we were eyewitnesses to. And then if you go back to our very first show that we did the recording of this, Iva pointed out the importance of the witnesses of two or three. Mm-hmm. And he is here testifying there was three of us because that was very important to Jewish tradition. So it's not a myth, and it was real power. Mm-hmm. It wasn't manifested by man. It wasn't conjured up. It wasn't fake. This was real
and
power.
I think she was the
majestic. Majestic. Yeah. Is that, I love that word.
Big word.
Good
yeah,
word. And so they were eyewitnesses to that, the majesty mm-hmm. of his glory to be revealed. And he says, we heard. We heard. We heard the voice of heaven. We heard it. And so I'm thinking that we have to come to a place in our life where we say, okay, here's the deal. For somebody listening out there, you probably have no clue and you're thinking, yeah, whatever. It's just a matter of bowing and saying, you know what? Okay, so if Jesus isn't a myth, then I need to be willing to bow my heart and say, okay, let me see a vision of your glory. That's a kind of prayer God will say, I will answer. Mm-hmm. So if you have been living in a life where you have heard, it's just a myth. It's just a story. He's just a good teacher. It's a lie. He is the Son of God, and his glory was revealed, and there's witnesses and give testimony to it. Just pray and say, God, show me your glory. Mm-hmm. The second thing that needs to happen is that you need to wait. And wait for him to make it known to you. Read the Bible, because that reveals who he is. And then as you do that, listen to what he reveals. Listen to how he shows his son and be willing to say, okay, I'm willing to let him change me. When we're willing to say, okay, Jesus, show me yourself, he will. He doesn't hide it. That's a time, that's a moment where he'll make it clear. Mm-hmm. The glory will be revealed, so somebody will come to know him. Mm-hmm. So our prayer is that as you're listening, somebody out there right now, you just ask to see a vision of his glory, that you know he died on the cross for your sins. For those of us that are serving him, we need to be seeing the vision of his glory so that we can properly listen to the voice of heaven, the Father of heaven, so that we can properly communicate at the right time. Mm-hmm. Not in our own time, not in man's time, but in God's timing. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we're looking forward to coming back next month as we record our next show. God bless.